Hello, 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 and welcome to the Jolly Heretic. Now, as you may have gathered, there have been riots in Northern Ireland going on for the last week, and naturally, we are being lied to about them. We are being lied to about them by our Pravda media on a kind of Southport level of lying, or at least a borderline Southport level of lying. So what I want to do today is look at, and I've got people in Northern Ireland who've been writing to me, by the way, so and thank you to those people, is look at what's actually happening in Northern Ireland and why. And it's very interesting in terms, I think, of the future of England, and it's just very interesting in terms of just sort of evolution and the differences between the Northern Irish and the British. That's what I want to look at. But before I do that, could you do me a little favour? And could you please subscribe? Could you subscribe here on YouTube? It really helps if you do that. Leave a like, leave a comment for the algorithm. And also, if you really, really are a lovely boy, then could you please follow me on my Substack, where if you like, where I put all the most basic interviews and stuff that I don't put on YouTube, and where if you like what I do, you could support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So what's going on in Northern Ireland? In essence, since over the last 10 years or more, there has been very substantial immigration of Roma, of gypsies from Eastern Europe, and particularly from Romania and Bulgaria, to Northern Ireland. And since the Brexit negotiations, so what was that, 5 years ago now, they are, of course, able to freely come to Ireland. And because there is no border between Ireland and Northern Ireland, they are then able to get into Northern Ireland. This migration has been in the thousands. Remember, it's quite a small country, Northern Ireland. It's been extremely substantial, and it's focused on certain particular areas. And of course, this isn't being reported in the press at all. They're just saying that they're Romanians. They're not. They're Romanian. What happened, as you may know, is that the two Romanian young men are up in court, accused of having attempted to rape a local girl. And it has come to light that they required a Romanian translator in order to, when they were put up in front of the magistrates, and so therefore it's not Romanian, it's Romani. And this area of Ballymena was a Clonavan street, and this place is 50% of the people that live on this particular street in Ballymena are Romani, identify as Romani, either as Bulgarian or as Romanian gypsies. 50% of the people that live on this street, and the broader area in North Antrim, of which this area of Ballymena is a part, is only about 40% Northern Irish people. So the majority of people that, or less than that even, about 37%. So the vast majority of people that live there are foreign, and in particular, they are Romani immigrants from Bulgaria and from Romania. That's the situation. And this is not being directly reported at all by the press. But if you look back into the newspapers as far back as sort of 2018, 2017, there is evidence of tensions in this area of Ballymena between the native the local population and these gypsies. So that's this years and years of tensions have boiled over. Allegations that the Romani are committing crime, all of this sort of stuff, and that they have basically interfered with the functioning of essentially a tight-knit community. And a community of a particular kind. Because Ballymena was, I mean, Ian Paisley was the Member of Parliament for this area. Ballymena is a loyalist hotbed. It is a unionist, very strongly unionist, very strongly Protestant, perhaps even Ian Paisley kind of fundamentalist Protestant area. That's what this area is. The Member of Parliament for this area is Jim Allister. He is not a member of the Democratic Unionist Party. Oh, no. He is a member of a breakaway group from the Democratic Unionist Party that doesn't think the Democratic Unionist Party, which itself broke away from the Ulster Unionist Party, is based enough called the traditional unionist voice. That's what he represents. He is, as it were, Northern Ireland's or unionism's far right. And he is the person that represents this area in Parliament. And this area in particular around Clonavon Street, is a particular hotbed of loyalism. So you have a very, very tight-knit community of committed loyalists and Protestants, and they feel under attack from Romani who have come in and who, as far as they're concerned, I'm trying to find something for you. As far as they come in and keep creating disorder, so. That's the situation. That's the background. I was just trying to find something to quote, but I'm having trouble getting it to come up. So, yeah, that's it. So, obviously, the other side to this is the nature of Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, for our international viewers, is, you know, it's not England. This is a country that was at war, that was in low-level civil war, until less than 30 years ago, until about 25 or a bit less, 27 years ago, in low-level civil war. Particularly in working-class communities, such as this area of Ballymena, and Antrim, there were tit-for-tat random killings. You know, the IRA, who of course, the Catholics, the ones that want to be part of Ireland, would go to some pub that was a unionist pub, loyalist pub, and shoot people up or bomb the place. And then in retaliation, the UVF or some such group, the Ulster Volunteer Force, would go to a Catholic pub in a Catholic area and shoot people up or bomb the place. So this means that mortality salience is extremely high among the Northern Irish compared to the rest of the country. These people are closer to death. And if you are closer to death, then this brings out your instincts. And these include instincts such as religiosity, which then imbricates over into fundamentalist religiosity and the idea that those that are not part of your sect are just evil and of the devil, basically. And of course, it crosses over with ethnocentrism. It makes you more positively and negatively ethnocentric. And it makes you just generally more instinctive and more prone to act in a violent manner. And that's what these people have come up against. And so I'm afraid you don't mess with people like this and expect the same response you get in England. In England, it took a massacre of three little girls to provoke this kind of response. But in Northern Ireland, no. It's just the attempted rape of a local girl that provokes this kind of response. So this is very interesting. And of course, the more that life becomes violent and unstable for various issues we can't talk about on YouTube, the more you're going to get this kind of reaction. The more it's going to happen. Now, if we go back into the lies we're being told about these riots, the media are making out naturally that it's racism. They're far right thugs. They're people in masks that have broken away and have caused wanton disorder and are attacking the police and all this, and they're terribly bad and it should be condemned. It's just far-right thuggery. It's racism pure and simple. That's what the First Minister of Northern Ireland, Michelle O'Neill, said. It's just far-right thuggery. She should know. Her father was a member of the IRA and was jailed for being a member of the violent, you know, activist in the IRA. The deputy leader of Northern Ireland, someone called Pengelly, I think Michelle Pengelly, I think that's her name. She's condemned it as just violence. She should know. Her father was involved in a violent Protestant paramilitary group and was imprisoned for this. So, I mean, she didn't know. I mean, come on. Talk about pots and kettles and black and so on. But, Northern Ireland has a long history of sectarian violence. And a lot of people that are involved in politics there have been involved in these paramilitary groups in some way or are connected to them. Now, what they said was it was just violent disorder. This is simply not true. What it started off as was people going to the house or the houses where the two people, the two young men, that are up for attempted rape, lived, and attacking those houses. So they were protesting, and then they became angry and inflamed, and they started attacking those specific houses, such that people that were living in those houses had to barricade themselves in the attic while the rioters broke in and so on. So this is the idea that it's just random thuggery and just people letting off is not true. Secondly, to the extent that it then developed, it did involve attacking the houses of people that were known to be Romani. And this is a small community in which everybody knows everybody else. And so it was those people that were targeted. So in that sense, you can argue, oh, well, they're being targeted because they're Romani. But of course, that's how it works, I'm afraid. If you have high mortality salience and you're highly instinctive, it becomes adaptive to think in a simplistic way. No nuance, no shades of grey. As far as you're concerned, if somebody from the enemy group attacks you, and particularly attacks your womenfolk, then that enemy group has to be repelled. Surely members of that enemy group must hold in them something of the problem which has caused a number of them to stray. This is basic human psychology. You attack them, you get them out, you defend your group. That is what you do when you are under conditions of mortality salience, when only 30 years ago, not 80 years ago, like in England, only 30 years ago, you were experiencing random death. And this is passed down, and these kinds of attitudes are passed down. I don't know if there's a genetic component to it, but certainly, right. So, therefore, they start a campaign, and they start. Then they move these gypsies to Larne, which I've not been to Ballymena, but I've been to Larne, and I can attest it's a lovely place, a very friendly people. And I went into a pub there, and I was welcomed in, and there were these, you know, if you're not from there, you're kind of almost a celebrity in the town, really. And there's two chaps at the bar, I think one was called Philip, hello if you're watching. And I think it was Philip said to me that he was once kneecapped because he wouldn't let his son join the IRA. And his best friend, whose name I forget, he had been a member of the UVF. And they were now best pals drinking at this bar in Larne. And that would have been impossible 30 or 40 years ago in Northern Ireland. So this is showing you when Northern Ireland, how united it has become, really, as a community. But it is a Protestant area. It's a highly Protestant area. It's known to be, Larne. They moved, apparently, to a leisure centre. This was announced by a member of the Ulster Parliament, of Stormont. And so, therefore, people surrounded that leisure centre and set it on fire. And there started to be riots to spread in other areas of Northern Ireland, because the Northern Irish are more based, I'm afraid, and the Northern Irish have just had enough, and the Northern Irish are more instinctive for quite understandable reasons. And they're used to this. Now, another thing that the press have said is how easily they seemed to have organised into riots, and how easily it all sparked off. Well, I'm sorry, people in Northern Ireland are used to rioting. The Northern Irish, the French, I mean, the Northern Irish are used to rioting, and they know how to do it, and they're bloody good at it. So we shouldn't be surprised by that. I mean, the city season is coming, is upon us soon, when it's the marching in Northern Ireland, and in particular Protestants marching through Catholic areas. And this often sets off rioting and so on. I mean, in 2001, there was a situation where a number of girls at a Catholic school, due to roadworks or something, had to walk through a Protestant area in order to get to school. And the result was that they had to have armed guards to walk to school, and the Protestants were throwing things at these little girls, including balloons full of piss. I remember being on an aeroplane about 20 years ago with one of those little girls, and she was telling me about it. So that's how much the tensions were. But these tensions have dissipated a lot, because I'm being told by people, remember that this area is up in Ballymena, is a highly Protestant area, but there are Catholics there. And the Catholics are themselves participating in the protests. Catholics and Protestants are increasingly united in Northern Ireland. We saw this in Belfast last summer in response to the Southport massacre. That the Catholic people with the Catholic, with the tricolour and with the Union Jack, and they were united marching against this. Because that's what it takes to unite people, an external enemy. In Finland, the Reds and the Whites after the Civil War hated each other, but they were united by the Russian invasion. And this is what we are seeing in Northern Ireland. They are united. So they're not telling that. And then when they say that, oh, it's all racism. No one seems to be reporting the fact that the girl who they attempted to rape is half black. Her father's black. And Jim Allister said this on the live TV, and quickly the newscaster tried to sort of brush it under the carpet, and so we shouldn't be reporting these kinds of details. How in what senses are these racially motivated racist marches? If the people of Ballymena are going to the streets rioting for the honour of a black female, or a half-black female, that's not a very racist thing to do. She's half Northern Irish, yeah, but she's half black. And they are rioting knowing that that's the case. That's known in Northern Ireland. She's half black. That's not exactly what racist far-right thugs are going to do, is it? She's, but as far as they are concerned, she's one of them. She's born in Northern Ireland. She's half Northern Irish. You know, she's one of them. So they are, we are not being told the truth about this. And these riots aren't stopping. And from an evolutionary perspective, the idea is to drive them out, is to show internationally, do not come here. And it seems that the Northern Irish are being quite successful in that regard, because a lot of these people are now leaving and stating, you know, I'm going to go back to Bulgaria and whatever, I can't stay here. And it's a poor area. It's an area where there was factories that have closed down, where there's competition for work, and all it needed was a spark. And this has been building up for a very long time, and that is the spark. And as I say, Northern Irish people are not English people. They're closer to death. And that is why we're getting the extreme reaction that we're getting. So I hope this has been of interest, chaps. And if you're watching from Northern Ireland, a number of people have got in touch with me. Do get in touch if you have any interesting information. And I will see you all soon, and goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?